Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're in the thick of it now, our preparations for Christmas. We're busy making our holiday plans for our holiday celebrations. Some of us will be hosting guests in our homes. Others of us will be traveling to see family and friends in other places. Some of us are planning menus, and all of us are probably thinking about what gift to buy for whom. We're making our lists and checking them twice. We're getting ready for Christmas. And of course, that's what Advent is all about. Getting ready for Christmas, getting ready for the baby Jesus, getting ready for God to once again come to live among us. And that's the theme of our scripture passages for today. In both Isaiah and Mark, we hear the call, prepare the way of the Lord. But I don't think that either Isaiah or John the Baptist are referring to checking off Christmas lists, buying presents, or putting up decorations. They are after something much bigger, something life-changing, in fact, something that will turn us around and set us straight, something that will open us up to the transforming power of the living God, the one who is coming and the one who is already here. For both Isaiah and John the Baptist, it starts with repentance, with confession of sins, and a longing for forgiveness. Do we really want to go there at Christmas time? Isn't Christmas supposed to be all about sweetness and light? Yes, but the reality is that we only really get to what is truly sweetness and light if we come with hearts that are open and true, hearts that are honest and ready for change. The way we prepare ourselves for the coming of God among us is to clean house, metaphorically speaking. We need to get rid of the clutter, the junk, the barriers that keep God at a distance. We have to remove the obstacles that are in God's path to us, our path to God. Removing obstacles is the gist of the passage from Isaiah 40 that Brenda read for us this morning. Make straight in the desert a pathway, a highway for our God, says the prophet. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, and the uneven ground shall become level and the rough places plain. When this happens, when these obstacles, the high mountains, the low valleys, the rough roads are removed, then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Then all people shall see it together. The people of Israel have come humbly before God, confessing their sin, asking for forgiveness, and longing for their relationship to be restored. Comfort them, God says. Speak tenderly to them. Tell them I forgive them. Let them be held back by obstacles no more. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, according to Mark, we hear the same cry from John the Baptizer. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Remove the obstacles that block the way. John calls the people of Jerusalem and the Judean countryside to repentance. The one who is more powerful than I is coming, he says. Get ready to meet him. Take stock of your lives. Confess your sins. Open your hearts. Get ready, for great and wonderful change is at hand. Come, he says to them and to us. And I will help you get rid of those obstacles. I will baptize you with water for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will be ready to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. On this second Sunday of Advent, as we anticipate the coming once again of God with us, let's think about the obstacles in our own lives. Obstacles that make it difficult for us to access God's healing and transforming power. Ask yourself, what is it in my life that acts as a barrier? What is it in my life that are the rough roads, the high mountains, the deep valleys that make connection with God and others difficult, if not impossible? What are the sins that I need to confess? I want you to take a minute to think about this. Now lift these things up to God. Confess them. Put them out there on the table just as they are, these obstacles, these things that have kept God and other people at a distance. Ask for God's help in letting them go, in overcoming them. Ask for God's forgiveness. Brenda. So now, just as the crowds came to John for the baptism of forgiveness, as they prepared their hearts and their lives to receive Jesus, you also can receive an assurance that forgiveness is yours and that real connection with God this Christmas season is possible. I invite you now to come forward to receive your own baptism of forgiveness. Brenda or I will anoint you with water so that you will be ready for the one who is coming, for the one who is already here to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Come. You have and will continue to receive God's forgiveness, my sisters and brothers. It is a well that never runs dry. Thanks be to God. But it is a well. You have to come to it to get the living water that you need. You have to intentionally stay connected to the God of life. Getting rid of the obstacles that block our path to God, the fears that hold us captive, our tendency to think only of ourselves, this is an ongoing process, but it's not something that we do on our own. It is something which God is already involved in with us. And actually, it starts with God. God reaches out to us. We join in this work on God's own, in this work of God's on our own behalf, which is another act of preparation. Daily, intentionally putting ourselves in God's hands so that our wills can be conformed and conjoined with God's will, and our hearts stay open to the comfort and Holy Spirit and leading of the Holy Spirit. This is something we need to do. In the December issue of Purpose Magazine, which, by the way, features an article by our own Peggy Owen, who must have stepped out. Peggy Owen has an article in this Purpose Magazine. But in this magazine, there is an article by Tammy Darling entitled Perfect Peace. What she writes is a good illustration, I think, of the power of preparation. It all starts with her fear of flying. Because of this fear, Ms. Darling managed to avoid airplanes for most of her life. However, the time came when there was no choice. She knew she was going to have to get on an airplane. I spent a lot of time in prayer and in God's word in the days and weeks leading up to the trip, she writes. And it was time well spent. For the more time I spent in the presence of God, the more peace I felt. By the time I boarded the plane for my first ever flight, I had a measure of peace that I was confident would see me through. As at first things went smoothly and she relaxed, but then her worst fears were realized. Here's how she describes it. The takeoff and initial first hour were relatively smooth, and then we experienced turbulence, serious turbulence. Instructed to fasten our seatbelts, I began to pray. I breathed a sigh of relief when the plane began to descend for the landing. The airplane touched down, but then suddenly it jerked back up again and started to ascend, shaking violently as it did. Passengers began to scream. Not a word came from the pilot or the crew. Above the sounds of the screams, a woman nearby began to pray with authority, her voice rising above the screaming. Others joined her in prayer, as did I. And in that moment, as I was praying, I had the startling realization I was not afraid. In fact, I did not have a single butterfly. I didn't know if we would land safely or crash into the ocean, but I was at perfect peace. It was almost 25 minutes of rocky flying before the plane finally landed safely. As my feet stepped onto solid ground, a life-changing thought came to me. This is what the peace of God, which passes all understanding, feels like. This experience of peace was made possible, Ms. Darling says, because her heart and mind were conformed and conjoined with God's. In the days and weeks leading up to the flight, I remained close to God, she explains. I walked onto the plane with complete confidence in God's goodness and faithfulness, knowing that I could trust God with my life. Sisters and brothers, in preparation for the coming once again of God with us, we bring our whole selves to God, recognizing the obstacles within us, confessing our sins, expressing our desire for a deeper relationship with God, asking for and receiving forgiveness. In doing so, we are brought into right relationship with God, a relationship which is precious and life-giving, and a relationship which requires loving attention. As the Advent season unfolds, keep preparing the way. Remain close to God. Spend time each day in reflection and prayer. There are many good Advent meditations out there. If you, they can help you along the way. You can find information on a couple of these in your announcements this week. If you do this, if along with the baking and the cleaning and the present buying, you stay close to God, you will truly be ready for Christmas. May you be prepared. May you walk into whatever may come with complete confidence in God's goodness and faithfulness, knowing that you can trust God with your lives. Let it be so. Amen.
Our song of response today comes from the Blue Hymnal, number 183. And in this song, halfway through each verse, there's a fermata, and I'm going to hold it for a little bit. So just you'll get used to the feel of it. Just on the first verse, just maybe wait till I come back and sing it again.